anchor you've entitled wave, you may be dismissed. Thank you, Dawn. I'm so glad Dawn is back. She's been gone for how many days? Felt like it was a whole month, but it was only like 6 days that she was gone. But I did my best. I held down everything. Kids were fed. Kids were bathed. I took care of them. I didn't lose a single one. It happened one time when I that was a story behind this, man, that I could not find Micah for a while. And been looking around, went downstairs, upstairs, looking around for Micah. Come to find out Micah took a nap in our little dog's bed. So, you know, everything was safe back home, didn't burn anything down, and, you know, it's all good. It's a win at the Panthers when things go as smoothly as they did. So, but guess what? I'll be leaving on Tuesday. So guess who gets to hold the fort down all by herself? So anyway, be in prayer for her. We're in the middle of our series called Connecting Dream to Destiny. And if you tuning in for the very first time, and you're coming in for the very first time, and you've missed all of it, how many of you this is your first time coming in and you're listening to this? Okay, Christian, this is what I want you to do. You can go on our website, and you can listen to week number 1, 2, 3, and this is week number 4. And you can even listen to the messages while you're jogging. Isn't that crazy? You can listen to these things while you're doing other things. You can clean the house and listen to the word, listen to the message. So there is no excuse for not tuning in and listening to the word of God. This is what the word of God says in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It's a continual process of hearing. So doesn't mean that if you heard the message one time, it's good enough. Guess what? I listen to my own messages every Monday morning. That's my routine. I wake up and I listen to it all over again. I tune in. I receive from it. Amen? That's what we need to do as a body. Hallelujah. So here's your assignment. I have no more camping story to share. And everybody says, hallelujah. No more camping stories. But I do have a personal story that I want to share. Okay? It's a little bit of an embarrassing story, but it's good to you know, we can be real here. I'm okay to embarrass myself, okay? I'm confident with myself that if I look like a fool, it's okay. It's a real story. It really happened. I'm sitting in this conference room. It's a job interview. It's a job interview. I'm sitting there in this job interview. It's a dream job. It's something that I've been wanting. I've been working towards. And I'm expecting God to move somehow and work on the hearts of those people that are interviewing me. It's a big panel interview. So we have 2 executive vice presidents there. We have other vice president of different area. Several directors. And it was a packed panel interview. So I'm sitting there. It was kind of very intimidating, okay? And I'm sitting there, and I'm sweating, okay? I'm sweating, and I'm waiting in anticipation what kind of question they're going to be asking me. And the very first question was this. Shannon, tell us about your journey. How did you get here? My response was very swift, very intellectual, very deep. I knew exactly what I was going to respond. And so very eloquently, I said this. I drove. I drove. After those words came out of my mouth, can't get them back. The other side of the room, the executive vice president was in front of me. I saw his face. He looked down. He smiled. And he laughed. And everybody else laughed when I said this. It broke the ice, but I'm like, I blew it. I blew it. So I'm going to tell you the rest of that story later on. If I do forget, somebody's going to remind me, right? Okay. All right. I want you to turn to your Bibles. Genesis chapter 41, verse 37. All right. Let's get in the Word. We're doing a series on this, and we're studying the life of Joseph. And the backdrop of this is this. Joseph was in prison, right? 5 years he was in prison. And in prison, he had an encounter with two guys that came in, the baker and the butler. They had dreams. And Joseph had the ability, that gift that God gave to him when he was still a young guy. He was 17 years old when he started having dreams and being able to speak those dreams to his father, to his brothers. And those dreams, they came to pass. They were visions that God gave to him. And those two guys there in prison with him had two dreams, two separate dreams. And he was able to give them the interpretation of these dreams. They had no idea what those dreams were. And there he is. He gave the interpretation of these dreams and they came to pass. So you read on at home. We're not going to have time to go there. But I'm going to pick it up right there when Pharaoh had dreams of his own. And he heard that there's this dude in prison that has that gift. So he calls for Joseph to come and meet him. Because none of his guys, all the witches and fortune tellers or whatever they had back in Egypt in those days, none of them could actually give any kind of solid understanding of what those dreams were. So he calls for Joseph, and Joseph shows up in front of Pharaoh, and he's able to pinpoint exactly the dreams that Pharaoh had. Pharaoh is totally satisfied with the answers that he got from Joseph, and here we're picking it up in verse 37. He says, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over all my house, and all the people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set over you over all the land in Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off and handed it over to Joseph and put it on his hand. And he clothed him in garment of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in second chariot, which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. And then further down in verse 46, it says, Joseph was 30 years old. How old was he when he got the dreams and when he was thrown into the pit? 17. So 13 years later, he's finally stepping into his destiny, into the first step towards his purpose, what God has created Joseph to do. He stepped into this at that very moment. Today, I'm going to talk to you on the subject of promotion. How many of you ever had a promotion? Many of us have received promotion. before. Promotion is when you are lifted from one level to another. When you step from your dream to your destiny, from calling to purpose, that's a promotion. It's an elevation from just the calling to now into the purpose, the reason why you were created. So that's the level of promotion, just like you've experienced. It could be just an experience that you used to be here in life, maybe even struggling with this and that, but now you've been promoted to a higher level, a spiritual awakening from the inside. We can call that a promotion. You know, even Joseph, when he was thrown into the pit and then sold as a slave, that was a promotion for him. And you might say, how so? How can somebody being a slave, sold as a slave from the pit to Potiphar's house as a slave, be a promotion? Let me tell you how. The closer you get to your calling, the closer you get to your destiny, to your purpose, it's a promotion. The closer you're getting to what God created you for, that's your promotion. It's not always about the job, the title. A promotion is when you're being propelled into a new area that God wants you to occupy, and you're excelling at doing it. That's a promotion. It comes in a different way with God. It's not always the same. Joseph drew closer and closer to his calling and his divine purpose with God, even while he was thrown in prison for 5 years for something that he did not commit. There's one thing for going to jail for something that you've done. Like, you know what? I'm paying the price for something that I've done. But this guy did not do anything wrong. And yet again, he found himself in prison. I believe this was the lowest part of his life. Just like this song. Can't go back to the beginning. He can never go back again to being with his brothers. He can't even go back to be as a slave in Potiphar's house. So he's stuck there in a prison. The only thing that he can do is to look forward. To look forward. Lord, what do you want me to do? What is it that you want out of me, even in the middle of a prison? The only thing that he knew is to keep serving God. Even while he was in jail, he prospered, just like we talked about last week. He prospered. Everything that he set his hand to do, he prospered. Why? The presence of God was with him. That's what he needed, is the presence of God. Even in the middle of a prison, no one could take that away from him. So you could be in your tough season, in your prison, but no one can take the presence of God away from you. No matter where you are, he's there with you. And there's one thing about promotion. It's never by coincidence. It's always planned. It's always on purpose. It's always calculated. When God has promoted somebody to a place, God sees a much bigger picture. When you look at yourself in your role in the workplace or even at church, and you might think that your role is so insignificant. I'm not making an impact. I'm just here. But God sees you in that big picture. When you start walking and keep serving Him in the place where He's called you to serve, and you do it with everything that you have without holding back, God honors that. And that's what sets you up for promotion. Did you know that you can set yourself up for promotion? You can do it yourself. You don't have to butter up your boss to do it. You don't have to do that. You don't have to get promoted on the backs of others. Your promotion is not even based on your gifts and your talents. Isn't that crazy? When you think about your gifts and your talents, how wonderful they might be, all the experience that you have, all the education that you have, everything that you've accomplished. You can see this as, oh, this is my way in because I've done it. I've achieved so much. Gifts and talents. I want you to pay attention to this because this is going to spell out freedom for somebody today. Your gifts and talent might get you through the door. But your gifts and your talent won't keep you in the room. Your gifts and talent might get you that job interview, even if you mess it up. Even if you mess it up on the basics, most simplest thing. It's the presence of God that keeps you in the room. It's the presence of God in you that makes you stay in that room. Is when others see God in you. That's how promotion comes. In fact, this is the very first thing that we know about promotion. Promotion comes when others see God in you. When others see God in you. Joseph was promoted because of one thing. One thing. He was promoted by Pharaoh because of one thing. Not because he gave the right answer to the dreams. Not because of that. That was the product of something else. If he was promoted just because he was able to understand the dreams, he would have never fulfilled the purpose. Because at some point in time, I can guarantee you this, Joseph would have relied on his gifts and talents. It's the same for you and me. God does not want us to rely on our own ability, on our own gifts, on our own talents. Yes, they are God-given. God has wired people differently. Different personality, different giftings, different way that God has made us up, has set us aside for different tasks, different assignment based on the way that He's wired us. I will never be able to lead worship. Jesse, I'll never be able to lead worship, buddy. That is not what I'm wired to do. I love worship. I can be in worship all day long. I'm wired to love worship, just like any other believers. But I cannot sing. I cannot lead. I would do a terrible job if I step into that calling. It's never my calling. But when you utilize the gifts that God has given to you, and you rely on His presence, you set yourself up for promotion, to be elevated to a new level, a new walk with Him, to get a new revelation of who God is in your life. You see, doors open at that moment when you start recognizing, oh man, I'm doing this, but I'm not doing it in my own strength. I'm doing it because God is with me. and others will have the ability to see it. They will see that I know this guy. I know his background. I know where he comes from. We used to play together. Look at him now. They would see God in you. That opens up the eyes of unbelievers at the moment. The moment when they start seeing God do the miraculous through you, and they know that it is not you. And they know that you give God glory for everything that God does in your life, through you. He's blessing the works of your hands, not because of you, but because of Him. And every time when you're seeing the fruits and you're pointing back to Jesus, it's only because of Him. Only because of Him. I've applied myself. I've done the best job that I can. But I've given it all unto God. And He's seeing the increase. He's seeing me excel because I've given it back to Him. Just like a preacher who's preparing a message. He gives it all that he has. And he gives it all that he has, not on Sunday morning. He gives it all that he has throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. Whatever the Spirit of God is saying, he's moving right along with it. He yearns for the presence of God. He keeps the presence of God all the time. He treasures that. He does everything in his ability to make sure that there's nothing that comes in and robs him of the presence of God. So when that preacher shows up on Sunday morning, it's not him who speaks. He's done the hard work behind the scenes, but it is the Holy Spirit that shows up. And he gives God the glory for it. And lives are changed. People are transformed. That's the same thing for anyone. In the workplace, at home. When you're giving, you're taking care of your kids at home. You're doing with a spirit of excellence. You're doing with a spirit of joy. You're serving your kids. You're cooking for them. I cook for my kids this week. I did an amazing job. I took pictures of my dishes that I made. This is how amazing it was. I mean, I served them. That was my joy as a father to do this. I applied myself to it. How did Daddy do it? Cross-country meet. Every day of the week. Picking up kids. Putting one to dig. I did all of that. Because the presence of God was with me. And Don would do the same next week. I am, come on now. This message is probably for you. We got to give God the glory for the little things that he's doing in our lives. It's about him. It's always going to be about him. The moment we try to take credit for it, that's when the Spirit of God to the side. And he's watching you. He's like, okay, you think you can do it by yourself? Okay, go for it. And God has a sense of humor. Just like that, he will step back and watch you do it. And he'll smile. And this is where you're going to come up with answers like, I drove. And you can't get it back. But yet again, after you mess up and he smiles and he looks at you, he comes right alongside you and said, buddy, I'm stepping in the room with you. I know you goof and you said something dumb and stupid, but I'm right there with you. Go for it. Be empowered by my grace. You're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in mine. Go for it. Show the spirit of excellence that I've given to you. Do it with all your might. Apply yourself to what God wants you to do. So Pharaoh saw God in Joseph. That's the one thing that he saw. He saw God in Joseph. I mean, we're talking about a guy, Pharaoh, who is a pagan worshiper. He worshiped himself because he thought of himself as a god. But yet again, he had enough sense in him when he saw Joseph, he saw God in Joseph. This is what it says. It says, can we find such one as this? This guy that is standing in front of me, can we, in all my land, in all the countries and the territories that I own, can we find one such as this guy right here? Immediately, even a pagan idol worshiper is recognizing not Joseph, is recognizing the God in Joseph. I mean, if we're talking about a pagan idol worshiper who's recognizing God, come on. He's seeing God in him. And he says, a man in whom is the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God is inside of you, when you walk into a room, things change. The temperature of the room changes. You can set the atmosphere of that room. You can set the tone of the conversations. Just because you're there, even the language that used to go around would shift, would change. You know why? It's not because of Almighty you. You might think it might be, oh, I just stepped in and everything is changing. Look at what I did. But really, no. Had nothing to do with you. It's the God in you. It's the God in you that has changed the temperature of that room. So when you walk into a place, you need to start seeing yourself as his ambassador. You need to start seeing yourself as the one who is representing God. You walk into the room, I have the presence of God in me. I'm not saying you walk into a room and you start speaking that out loud. I've got the presence of God in me. This is who I am. Everybody pay attention to me. No, the moment you walk into a room, just by you carrying yourself, put a smile on your face. Don't just go in there like old grumpy face and you're coming in and I show them the presence of God. No, put a smile on your face. Put energy in your step. You coming into this place, you carrying the presence of Almighty God himself. There's joy that comes with that. So leave whatever you're going through in the car, on the road. Because when you're stepping in with a renewed mind, with a new renewed demeanor of who you are in him. So when Joseph stepped into in Pharaoh's palace, you watch movie, you can use your imagination there. In the Bible doesn't give us a big picture of this. I'm guessing probably Pharaoh's standing on high somewhere. And here's Joseph is right there. He's talking to Pharaoh just like this. And Pharaoh, in front of the whole court of people, all of his wise men are right here. He's acknowledging not just Joseph, but the God whom Joseph serves. Can you imagine that setting? Can you imagine the testimony that is coming out of just that encounter? Now picture yourself. Ooh. Picture yourself in that position. When you are here and you're receiving this from Pharaoh, and everybody's watching you and recognizing the God in you. It's not a spirit of arrogance that comes out at this point. It's that spirit of humility, because you know it was not you and it was God. And you're pointing it back to him just in case if there's ever some misunderstanding. Because there could be easily somebody who was watching, look at Joseph. Look at what he just did. But Joseph, throughout everything that he did in his own ministry, in his own work, he points back to God each and every time. So Pharaoh is recognizing this, and Pharaoh is saying, is there anyone in all my land in whom there is the Spirit of God? And then immediately after this, he said this, you shall be all over my house. Over everything that I own is yours. At your word, people would move. At your command, everything would change. You have access to everything but my throne. I said, this is pretty good enough. I mean, we're talking about a land in Egypt that was a mighty civilization. They were the top dog, the top country in that era, in that part of the world. They rule nations. What Egypt dictated affected economy, commerce, the way business was conducted. And here you have a servant of God dictating everything that is going on in Egypt. Pharaoh is totally hands off and said, you run the show and give God the glory for it. The question is this. I want you to self-reflect on this. What do others see in you? You don't need to answer this, but I want you to reflect on this throughout the week. Are you reflecting Jesus in the workplace? Are you reflecting him? Are you giving him glory? How do we reflect Jesus? How do we reflect God? Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. To act justly means do the right thing. Do the right thing, especially when no one is watching. Love mercy. Show the same level of mercy that you were given when you messed up. Walk humbly. Stay little in your own eyes. Show true humility. And I'm talking about true humility. I'm not talking about this type of humility. Like, you know what? It wasn't me. Oh, well, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. I'm not talking about this level of humility. I'm talking about a level of humility where you're operating in. You're excelling in what you're doing and you're pointing to God. Being humble does not mean you're holding back. Being humble means you are full of strength, but you are harnessed by the Spirit of the living God. It's like you are a racehorse, ready to run, ready to do whatever the Lord is commanding, but you will not run the race without him telling you when. That's when you are humble. You're totally in humility, totally surrendered unto God, ready to go and do what he's called you to do. So walk humbly. He says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's how you get promoted, is when you walk humbly before him. At the right time, he will elevate you. He will lift you up. The second thing we know about promotion is that it has a purpose. Everything that God releases, everything that God does, has a divine purpose. There is nothing that God does that is by accident. The place where he positions you has a purpose. your job, you're there on purpose. You might not even realize, you're like, what am I doing? I'm just nothing. Lord, when is the next one going to happen? Serve him where you are. Don't wait for the next promotion to come, and then I will serve him. Don't wait for when I get that raise that I've been waiting for, Lord. You know what? I'll give you the glory when I get it. Give him the glory now. Give him the glory when you're making $5.15 an hour. Don't wait until you are promoted from a cable monkey to a finance monkey. Some of you will catch this little humor there. You will watch it online. Don't wait to celebrate the goodness of our God. Celebrate the goodness of our God now, in this season, when it's tough, when you feel like you're in a prison, when you feel like you're stuck and you're not going anywhere. That is the time to serve and to celebrate the goodness of God. You're still breathing. That's the time to celebrate the goodness of God. You've got breath in your lungs. That is the time to celebrate the goodness of God. Don't just wait for the right moment. The right moment is now. Now is the right moment to celebrate the goodness of God. Promotion comes from God. It says, for exaltation, promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one, he demotes one, and he exalts or promotes another. God is in charge of who comes in authority. I'm talking about authority at all levels of authority. All the way up to the president. God is in control of everything. It might not seem, when you look at certain things, you look at this, you look at that, it might not seem that was God. But God is in charge of all of it. No one gets in a position of authority without God placing that person there. Just like Jesus said when he was being questioned by this centurion, on whose authority? Are you saying this? Are you claiming all of this? And Jesus responded, there is no authority here on earth that is given to any man without it coming from the Father. So the authority that you have is not of your own. That's in essence what Jesus was saying. That's exactly what happens. No one gets in the power or authority without God placing that person there. It takes a journey to get there. It's a journey of us discovering the dream and then us discovering the destiny, the purpose that God has for us. The best way to discover the journey is to take God alongside you on the journey. Don't embark on a journey without God. Because you will spend your whole life looking for your calling, looking for your purpose, and not finding it. Because God is not accompanying you on this journey. When promotion comes, it comes with a purpose. And the purpose is this: souls, people. God puts you in a place where you're going to have an impact on souls and people. When you see yourself as just a little pixel in the big picture, and you ask God, Lord, I know I'm there, but what am I doing here? God is seeing that little pixel connected to the other pixel, and the other pixel, and the other pixel, and the other pixel, and the other pixel. But when you look at this collectively, you see a masterpiece. You see a big picture. You see God's design for your life and your purpose. Without this pixel occupying that space there, the picture is incomplete. So when God sees you, he sees people. He sees a network of people. That's how God promotes you. He sees people first. Now let me conclude my story. I told you I was going to tell you about this. I have tried for at least, how many years? 2 years, 3 years, to get a job in this department. We're talking about an entry-level position, okay? We're talking about a counselor's position, a financial counselor's position. And not even a single time was I ever called for an interview. Not even an email to acknowledge the receipt of my resume. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I am more than qualified. I've got the gifts. I've got the talents. I'm qualified. And they're asking for a bachelor's degree. I have a master's degree. I am more than qualified for this job. And Lord, I have experience in finance. What is going on? Why am I being rejected? Time after time after time, I kept applying every time I see. I became very good friends with the HR person because I would be calling, is there any job? Or is there openings? I'm like, he's like, no, Shannon, there's nothing. They know me my name. There's nothing. Keep trying. There's always something. You know, they want to, there's always something. We have you. There's two HR person right there. Robin, you're an HR director. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. The famous words from an HR director when you call for an interview is like, we got your application on file. Is that right? We got your application on file. We'll call you. We'll get back to you or something like that. So I'm like, okay, come on. How many? 3 years you got my application on file and you haven't even called me yet. So this time, this is the crazy thing. I never got called for any other counselor's position. This time, I'm getting called for the head of the department position. The top dog that sits above all the finances. I got an interview for this. So I'm sitting there. And so I'm rewinding all the way back to the beginning when I started my message. I'm sitting there in front of the vice president, the executive vice president, the directors, and all the top dogs were there. And the very first question that I said, that they asked me was, how did you get here? I drove. I mean, this is suicide right there. I mean, I'm like, I can't get this back. There's no way I can get those words back. Have you ever been in an interview when you did not want to get the job? When they start asking you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Or tell me a little bit about your weaknesses and how did you do to overcome this? I felt like I was going to go, that's not going to be my job. I want to get out of here. So I'm like, well, tell me about your weakness. How did you overcome your weakness? So that's the quickest way to get out of the job. I felt like this at that moment when they asked that question. I'm like, if I'm going to be messing up like I did just now, I might as well just mess it up royally. You know what I mean? That thought crossed my mind. I was like, you know what? So I'm going to mess up. I'm just going to go out with a bang. Let me just mess the whole thing up. And I'm sitting there. No words are coming out of my mouth. And I'm sweating. I'm changing shades of colors. And I'm like sitting there. And after they laugh. And I felt like I needed to say something. I was like, you know, guys, let me tell you about my journey. Let me tell you how I got here. I was that same guy that worked in that department, fixing coffee for these people. I was that same guy that came in and made $5.15 an hour by making copies for these people, that cleaned the bathroom. That was me. I cleaned your bathroom. That was me. But God has elevated me to this position, to the place, to my to what I've done, to what I've accomplished. It's not because of me, because it was God in me. After I shared, humbly shared, as tears were coming down my face, and everybody else was watching me, they all stood up. Just totally HR people, that's, you, no one does that. You don't go to an interview at that level and you start crying. You're not fit for the job. Go home. They all stood up. They looked at me. And they said, we've been looking for somebody just like this. Just like you. Got the job. Every time I tell this story, it humbles me. Because it was never about me. I stepped into that room, but Jesus stepped in there ahead of me. He worked on them hearts before I even got there. That was really the end of the interview. There was nothing else to be said. I believe this could be many of you where you've tried and you've tried and you've tried. You've been rejected and rejected and rejected over and over and over again. And you're asking God, okay, when is that breakthrough going to come? When am I going to get that call from this HR lady? Am I still on fire, Lord? Or am I in the shredder? Do people even know that I exist? I've been here for too long, serving at that same role, same capacity for too long. They probably forgot about me. As long as you keep giving honor to God, you serve Him humbly. You don't abort and move because things are not turning the way that you expect. This happens in the Christian world so, so much, where you see child of God abort the calling. The dream. And allow the enemy to come in and steal what God wants to do. Because they are not humble enough to serve God in the here, in the now, in the place of the waiting, in the place when you're in the prison, when you are seeing nothing but dry bones. Those dry bones are there for a reason. They're for you. They're for you. They're for you to speak life to those dry bones. A year after this, after I got put in that position, I received a most honorable award that it will ever give to anybody. I mean, we're talking about faculty members, members of the theology department. I mean, we're talking about big, big top dog guys. And this little bitty guy that came in for 1 year, I received the most prestigious award that they will give. It's the Employee of the Year recognition for outstanding achievement in a small, short amount of time. And I remember when I woke up on stage and I received this award, I could not help but just point back to Him. Say, Jesus, You did it. You did it. You did it. Would you please stand? I'm going to pray and I'm going to release a word over you. It's a word, it's a blessing, it's a word with a mission to go and do exactly what I'm going to say it's going to do. And you're going to take this word and you're going to go to your workplace tomorrow. You're going to write this word down because you're going to have this hidden somewhere in your pocket, in your wallet. You're going to put this in your desk, in a drawer. You're going to put it somewhere where you're always going to remember what God is about to do in your life. The word is this: everything that you set your hands to do will prosper. Just simple as that. Just as easy as that for you to be able to write it down and believe it. Everything that you set your hands to do will prosper. Because God is with you. When you step into the room, you're stepping in that room with His presence. You can change the atmosphere. You can change the temperature of the room. The gifts, the talents that you have, they are great. They'll get you through the door. But it is the presence of God that will keep you there. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and we give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, Lord God, that now you are mapping the road for people, calling people to move up. To move up towards their destiny. To move up towards their calling, their purpose. Lord, I pray that you will speak individually to each and every one of them right now in the name of Jesus. Let their lives never be the same again as they hear your word and they move and do everything that you tell them to do. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you, church.